Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to our worship service. Great to see you all here. Let's begin by turning to hymn number 669, and we'll sing Make Me a Servant. Hymn number. Heavenly Father, we praise you for Jesus, our glorious Savior. We thank you for his story and for how you have told us in your word how he left the glories of heaven, came down here to become a human being while still remaining God, and lived a life here for 33 years among us fallen creatures, and got to see up close in that sense, in his human nature, to see how we were and the mess we've made of things. And yet he loves us still, and loved them, and gave his life to save all those who would trust in him. And we praise you for Jesus. Thank you that we proclaim his story every week here at our church, and we thank you for the word of God that tells us all about it. We pray that you would bless us in this hour as we think about Jesus and think about what your scriptures have to say to us today. Thank you for the book of 1 Thessalonians. And thank you for Pastor Bowyer. Pray that you would fill him with your spirit as he brings the message. May you speak through him and help us to understand better the scripture before us. And may the Spirit help us to apply all of this in our lives as we leave here today. Bless the fellowship time afterwards and all that goes on in this hour. We commit it to you. May your name be lifted high. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who tries our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome, as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who has called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. So, may the Lord bless his reading to our hearts today. We want to think about those who are ill. We know Sue Ellen is still laid up, I guess, with her broken ribs. So keep her in prayer, and others perhaps. It's good to see some back that have been out for a while. We're glad that you're back with us again, and pray that you'll continue to have good health and strength. Yes. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I'm supposed to mention. Anyway, continue to pray for one another, and we might be able to do the work of the Lord and see much good accomplished, see souls come to Christ. You know, it's something we should really pray for. Pray for our loved ones and friends and neighbors that are still lost in their sins. As we read there today, these Thessalonian people came to Christ. They had to change. They came to Christ in their sin, and he took it all away and gave them new life. So that's what it's all about, isn't it? Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you so much this morning for your presence with us. We sense that you're here. We know, Lord, you're always with us wherever we go, and we thank you for that. That we can call upon your name at any time, and you do hear us, and you do answer our prayers. Thank you for those who are feeling better today. We pray that you'll continue to strengthen each one. We just ask you to undertake and grant that your will might be accomplished in our lives. We thank you for our church, for the privilege of coming together and serving you in the name of Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord, to walk in fellowship with you day by day and be a blessing one to another. We just pray, our Father, today for our country. We pray that we might do the right thing. Think of our government and what they're doing, and it just seems so, I don't know, confusing. It is so, it just really bothers me. But anyway, I pray for our government. Help them to find a Speaker of the House and to get organized so that they can do a better job. We pray for our president, that you'll give him wisdom and understanding. We pray, dear Father, for righteousness to prevail in this nation. We know there's so much sin. We heard about that again this morning in Sunday school. And we know that even those who claim to be Christians, living in such an ungodly way. Father, we just pray that somehow you might draw us closer to yourself and help us to walk in righteousness and truth. We thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul and how he's stating here that they did everything exactly according to your word and sought to do your will. We pray that we might have that attitude of heart and mind. Lord, we think about the war over in Israel. We just pray that you'll undertake for Israel and help them to be able to overcome these enemies that have attacked them, came in and ravaged their nation. And we pray, Lord, that they might have victory at this time and that you'll continue to watch over them. And we pray that you'll bring many of them to a true and saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we just ask you to continue to guide and help us all that we might love you and serve you as we should. May Jesus, our blessed Savior, be glorified. We pray in his name. Amen. All right, let's turn once again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Last Sunday, we looked at the first chapter on the model church. The church at Thessalonica was one of the prize churches that the Apostle Paul planted, one that seemed to do very well. They turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. And they were good witnesses for Christ in all that they did. And Paul is excited about writing to them. And it's wonderful to see a church like that. We know some of his others, he had problems. We looked at 1 Corinthians, which one where he has all kinds of problems. He spent a great deal of time correcting the problems before he could ever even give his message to the church. But in Thessalonica, he doesn't seem to have that problem. And one thing that they did not, it seems, quite understand about the second coming of Christ. And some of the people had died. We'll see that a little later on in the book. But anyway, some of them died and they were thinking, well, they've lost. They're lost. You know, Jesus hasn't come back yet. What's happening? And there was all kinds of things that were going on. But they had the idea of the second coming of Jesus, something that we still need to cling to today, that he is coming, right? He is coming. And so we're rejoicing in that. They were looking for him in that day. Paul was hoping he would come before he passed off the scene. But it's always imminent, isn't it? That this the Lord Jesus is coming back to receive his people unto himself. But here in chapter 2, he is defending himself, it seems, to a certain extent. He keeps talking about himself and the others. There was also Silvanus and Timotheus that are writing this along with Paul to the church at Thessalonica. And he's defending them. He says here at the beginning, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." We weren't wasting our time. We didn't fool around. We were doing something that was so very important for your benefit, to bring you to Christ and to help you to know him. So here we have Paul and his team came preaching the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we believe in order to be saved, right? We trust him as our Lord and Savior. This is the message that they came, that they preached when they came. The people listened attentively. They received God's word into their hearts. They put their faith in the Lord Jesus alone for their salvation. And their lives were completely changed by the power of God. Isn't that wonderful? Here these people were converted and changed. You know, it grieves our hearts to hear today people who say that they're Christians and they continue to live in sin. Some of the things that brought up in Sunday school this morning. Horrible to think that people are going to that extreme. And yet, we are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him into our hearts, and then to live a life that is pleasing to him by the power of God. They turned to God from idols, as I said, to serve the living and the true God. During the short time, Paul was with them. Now believe this. He was there for 3 weeks. 3 weeks he preached to these people, and he covered the various doctrines of the Christian faith, and especially the second coming of Jesus is throughout this book. He's trying to help them to understand more completely. But he was grounding them in the truth of the Word of God. And that's what we need, isn't it? To understand, what do you believe? Do you know what you believe? I hope so. And we can all read the Word of God understand what it says, listen to the scriptures, and understand what he is saying to us. They served as a great example to all the other churches and spurred them on to serve the Lord. Now, this morning, we want to look at the second chapter and consider the ideal servant of the Lord. Paul is speaking about himself and these other men that were with him, that they were dedicated to the Lord to serve him and to be the kind of servants that he needed to have. The first thing we see here is that he's a faithful steward or a manager of the things of God. In notice verse 2, it says, even after we had suffered before, shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. See, it wasn't easy. You remember at Philippi, they had put Paul and Silas in prison, right? In jail. And the story there of the Philippian jailer, how he came to know Christ as his Savior, and everything was changed. But it was not easy. They were shamefully treated, he says, at Philippi. And yet, we didn't give up. He says, we were bold to go to you and to speak forth the word of God, even in the midst of all the contention. You remember, Paul went to the synagogue, you know, and they have a different viewpoint many times about the scriptures, and yet he preached the gospel in the synagogue, and there were those who accepted it, and it wasn't easy, you know. Sometimes people think it's easy to be a preacher of the gospel or to be a servant of God. And here, he's talking about not only the ones that get up and preach, but also each and every one. He's talking here to the members of the church that they might serve the Lord in this way. Have that courage and boldness to speak forth that which is true, and to live according to it. And he says in verse 3, for our exhortation was not of deceit. We didn't try to fool anybody. We weren't trying to cover over anything. We were speaking forth the truth, and not of uncleanness, nor in guile or deceit. We're not trying to lead anybody astray. It says in verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. What a blessing that is. We have the wonderful word of God, don't we? The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says we were able to take that and give it to you. What a blessing. And he said, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who tries our hearts. So here, he says, we are doing this as faithful witnesses, faithful workers for the Lord Jesus, obedient to his calling. We've been entrusted with the gospel, and we have to be willing to suffer if need be, speak forth the word of God with boldness and in spite of the opposition, seeking to please God and not to please men. Yeah. Sometimes it might be easier to try to say, well, you know, let's see if we can think of some way of saying this that they won't get offended. Well, Paul didn't look at it that way. He just went ahead and preached the truth, and hopefully they would accept it. Plainly presenting the truth without fear or favor. Paul did not use devious methods or seek to flatter. He didn't seek to build up his self-esteem, but showed them their need for Christ and his righteousness. That's his whole purpose. He humbly served the Lord and does not pull rank, seeking to bring glory to himself. So this is the one who is coming with the gospel of Christ, the faithful servant, faithful steward. You know, it says that it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And that's what Paul is presenting here, that we as his servants are to preach the gospel with without fear or favor, and truthfully, and to administer the word of God to the people. So here we have the Lord gave the message to Paul, and Paul gave the message to his workers. You know, Timothy, Titus, other men. And then they went forth with it to proclaim the truth of the gospel, that men could be saved and brought into a true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's upon this basis that the believer needs to look and to find his help, his strength in the time of need. So the first thing we see here, this the picture of the model servant, is that he is a faithful steward, a faithful witness for Christ. The second thing we find, it says here that he is like a gentle mother. Huh, there we go. Or she. It could be a lady witnessing for Christ, okay? But anyhow, notice verse 7. It says, but we, Paul, Timothy, and these others, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. And this is the picture of a mother with a young child, an infant, taking care of him, you know. You ladies, of course, know, maybe some of you men as well, what you have to do with these little ones, right, when they first come along. You've got to care for them constantly. It's not just a matter of, you know, once a day or whatever, once a week. No, no, you're there. And you've got to care for them, feeding them, nursing them, changing the diapers, and all the other wonderful things that you do for these little children, right? He says, we did that. The Apostle Paul, can you see the Apostle Paul? With these believers, infants in Christ. You know, it says when you first come to Christ, you're just like a little baby, right? You don't know anything except you know you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. And so somebody has to help you to get going, to feed you, it says, the milk of the Word, right? Start off with that. And when you get bigger, you have to get out, start eating the soup, right? Is that right? Next week. And then the pork chops, steak, all these wonderful things that we have, right? And but it takes time, and this servant of God has to be willing, has to be patient. Huh? With a little child, you have to be patient. There's a lot of things, you know, that they have to learn. And with children, with Christians, we are the same way. It takes a while to get everything going. He says, so be like a nurse, a nursing mother, one who cares for her children, who cherishes her. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted to you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Because you were dear to us, you see? It's the picture there of the mother again, you know? Taking care of this little child, it's a joy, you know? It might not always be easy, but it's a joy because this is your child, you love them. Paul says, you are my children because I gave you the gospel and you received it, right? And I'm going to care for you. Help you, and I'm going to strengthen you because of who you are, that you are dear unto us. Notice it wasn't just him. You know, we think about the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, and yet it wasn't just him. There was also a team that worked with him. And that's the idea, I think, of a local church. We are a team, you know. There are some people that do one thing, some people that do something else. But we work together in order to see the job done, right? And to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus and to supply the needs of these people. So these believers were new in the faith. They needed special care. And they, Paul and the others, gladly gave it to them. It says, I read this already, but anyway, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You see, that's the way you do it. By listening to the word of God, by reading it for yourself, by learning these things. So as God's servants, we should love one another, and like a mother loves her child. You know, they always say that there's no other love like that, right? A mother's love, I mean, other than God's love, of course. But here on earth, a mother loves her children, or at least she should. I mean, I don't know. Today, you don't know anymore. But this is God's ideal, is that we love each other. And Paul had this kind of love for his people. For these people in Thessalonica, he's held them dear to him. But also for the Jewish people. The people that Paul loved so dearly. Look back with me. I think we read this in Sunday school. I believe we did. Romans 9. Or maybe we didn't. Anyhow, Romans 9 and verse 1. Paul is saying here, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites. You see? Paul had a great love for his people, you know? And we think about Israel and the covenant that God has made with Abraham and David and on down through, and with the new covenant that he has for Israel. And we know that he's going to see them through. But my, think about that. So many still walking in unbelief. They've never received Jesus as their Savior. We need to pray. Pray for Israel. Pray for the people. And Paul had a great love for them. So it's not enough just to present the gospel in a detached way. We must love those that we minister to. You know? And that goes for whoever. Whoever you're speaking to, your neighbor, your loved one, someone else you meet on the street, you have to have a love for them, right? To be able to really communicate. So we find here the servant of God should be like a mother, that kind of love for others. And then we find he says he's like a caring father. We've got the mother, now we got the father. Verse 9, he says, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. You see? Just like a father has that place of working, going out and making a living, and then coming back home and taking care of the problems, teaching the children what they need to know, keeping them in line. He says, this is what we did. We exhorted you, we comforted you, and we charged you. You notice how many times the Apostle Paul loves the number three? Over and over again, he said he does that, doesn't he? And here it says, what verse was it? Nine, I guess. We holily, justly, and unblameably behaved ourselves, you see? And we need to have that attitude. As a father wants to influence his children in the right way, teach them, that's what we were doing, you know? So the one who is seeking to be a witness for Christ needs to set a good example to the person that they're dealing with. And that's what he's saying here to us, that you are witnesses of these things. As you know, in verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged, there it is, every one of you, as a father doth his children. So we have to be willing to expend our energies in serving the Lord like a father does. He's responsible for his family. He has to provide for them. We have to be willing to work hard to provide for our family. Night and day, he says, willing to suffer whatever comes, setting a good example for the children. That's something that's so important to do. Exhorting, comforting, and charging every one of you to walk worthy of God, teaching the children to be faithful, to be true, to know Christ, and to follow Him. Okay, so then we see the fourth thing here is he's like a brother. We've seen the family situation, right? The mother, father, and the brother. A fellow disciple, verse 14. He says, for you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. So you are following the example of these other believers that were before you, and now you're seeking to do the same thing. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Suffering coming in because of their stand for Christ. And let's see. Verse 15. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. And that's not very complimentary, is it? What's he saying here about these people? You know, and these are the people that he said he loved. And he'd be willing to go to hell if they could be saved. And look what kind of people they are. They killed the Lord Jesus. They killed their own prophets. They've persecuted us. And they don't please God in a contrary to everyone else. Wow. My goodness. Do we know anybody like that? Maybe you do. I don't. Okay. He says, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles. They didn't want to receive it themselves, and they didn't want anybody else. Right? So anyway, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. So here we have this brother. He's like a brother in the family who loves those around him. Paul refers to the believers as brethren, right? Brothers and sisters in Christ. He is one of them, not above them, but an equal member of the family, you know? We should all be the same, you know? We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we should love one another in that way. And seek to help each other any way we can. That's one of the things that we find throughout the Bible, no matter where we look. Love God and love each other, right? Love. Yeah. But we also need to tell people the truth. The truth. And it's not always easy to accept. He shared the same persecution that they had. He desired to be with them, but was unable because Satan hindered him, he says here. You know, verse 18. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. That's all he's good for, isn't it? Deceiving, lying, telling us something that's not true, and hindering us in our work. You know, you go to pray, what happens? Telephone rings, right? Okay. Anyway, I won't say that's Satan. But it might be. You know, he distracts us. He keeps us on the edge. And we can be so selfish, can't we? Who do you think it is that's needling you when you, you know, speaking in your ear, saying, oh, well, you shouldn't accept that. No, you got to get even. Yeah? Anyway, Satan hinders us. And Paul says, you know, well, Paul wanted to come sooner, but he couldn't. There's too much other things going on. Satan was deceiving him and leading him astray. He speaks in of them as his glory and joy. Isn't that a wonderful way? This Paul loved these people dearly, and he says, you are my glory and my joy. Verse 19, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? There it is. Each chapter in 1 Thessalonians refers to the coming of the Lord in some way. And here, again, he says, I'm looking forward to that. When we stand before the Lord, you'll be there as my glory and my joy. The ones that he took the gospel to. The ones that he led to the Lord and sought to help them. Once again, Paul returns here to the theme of Christ's coming and the reunion that awaits us in that day. And what joy that we'll all be together, gathered together around the Lord Jesus, around the Apostle Paul and all the other people there that we've heard about in the past, you know. Charles Spurgeon, right? And who else? I don't know. So many. We can rejoice and have fellowship together. Says this is our blessed hope, even the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, a people for his name's sake, right? Let's put it that way. We're not peculiar, are we? Well, some of us might be. But anyway, the Christian worker then, we find, summing it up, he says he's called upon to be a faithful and obedient steward, a manager seeking to do what's right, servant of God, a gentle and loving mother, a godly, caring father, and a brother in the family of God. So may the Lord enable us to be this kind of servant, you know, as we go from day to day, that we might share the gospel with those around us in a caring way, loving people, seeking to help them in every area of life, to look forward to that day when Jesus comes again. And we'll all be in heaven with him in the glory and joy of being with the Lord. What a wonderful thing that will be. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word to our hearts. It's encouraging to think that someday Jesus is coming. It could be today. It could be soon. We just pray that we'll be ready when he comes, that we can stand before you without embarrassment, that we can walk in fellowship with you and love you and serve you and be together with those who've gone on before. We just thank you, Lord, that we have that wonderful hope in our hearts, that true faith that we believe that Jesus is coming again. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are to us, and pray that you will bless us and help us to be your servants and to care for others and to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.